Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Tarek here.
Shoppy Charlie here.
Prunk Chocolate here.
Lando here.
And I want to personally invite you to our
first live and in-person event
on April 20th, 2024.
Live and Lit Chicago will be our chance to connect with you in a truly unique,
one-of-a-kind experience. We will be hosting a three-course breakfast,
a watch party for Man City vs. Tottenham,
and more to be announced later. You can purchase your tickets,
pre-order merch, or simply donate to our event on GiveButter.
Tap the link in the post or scan the QR code on the screen.
We want to thank our friends at FanFest Live for being our official event sponsor. Damn, they do a great job.
I look forward to getting live and lit with you in April.
You know the vibes.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
Heat the most is when you're the wonderful. I hate it. You have permission to make a mistake. You have permission to lose. You have permission.
And that's when we get big.
Yeah, I'm a genius.
Attack everyone and send everyone.
I think we're forgetting the most important thing. We're forgetting about focusing just on ourselves.
But we can do better. We need to take the next step, and there's no better place than taking the next step here.
Show ourselves out there how much we want to win it again.
We win four of the last five Premier League, guys. Four of the last five Premier League. Are we gonna do it again?
Don't ask me again about doubles, triples, quadruples, fifth-tuples, six-tuples, and seven-tuples. So,
don't do it. Hey, hey, and welcome to episode number 88.
This is the Playmaker episode.
Wow.
This is the Playmaker episode.
Hey.
Hey.
Shout out to the Playmaker.
Welcome. When we played in that cold weather, it was cold. No.
Get into it.
We are the most expensive, most expensive. Hey, baby, get it. My brain is mush. It's been a long day. It's been a long few days, actually. We are the most comprehensive show about Manchester City, covering both the men and women's game, spanning both sides of the Mason-Dixon line. We are making art over here. Capitalize that A. I'm with Tom Bomb and Lando. How's it going, show bros? We're going to start with Lando because I want to give our winner, our champion over here, the space to just take off. And, you know, so
that's fair.
Have their moment. Yeah.
That's fair. I appreciate you for doing so. I'm doing well, man. Thank you for asking, Kronk. What I will say is I want to ask a question to you guys as we get into this and talk about it. I'm sure got some exciting things to hear from Tom in regards to what happened yesterday. So I kind of want to hear his perspective, but I do pose a question for you all as we get into it. What's everyone's favorite Super Bowl dip? I had an absolute amazing ceviche. Shout out to Teresa. Shout out to my mother-in-law out there. Homemade. Absolutely incredible. Still got some left over in the fridge. Going to be snacking on that here in a little bit. But if you've ever had ceviche, oh, great, great, fresh, refrigerated shrimp with vegetables, onion, salsa, and lemon, very zesty. But look up ceviche, C-E-V-I-C-H-E, ceviche. Great dish. That's my favorite. And that's where I'll leave it. Tom, what'd you think about yesterday, my guy? Talk to me.
So for me, I'm a very, very Midwestern, so I'm going to have to go with Rotel. Now, I will say that...
Classic.
So my dad's good friend, when he made it, he used both ground beef and then ground sausage in it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, that was... I'll put it this way. Like... There were only six of us at the house watching the game together. That dip was gone by the end of the first quarter.
Yeah. A quality dip.
Oh, man. But I really do have to say that Manchester City Women's Football Club are affectionately known Baby Blue Baddies. They kicked the day off for me correctly by getting that dub. And then the home nation winning AFCON against all odds after they had fired their manager after the group stage was just, that just kind of set me and was like, okay, we're in the right mood. And then watching that game, oh my gosh. It's been a long time since I've stress drank, I guess you could say. And I don't even know what they're called, but it's got tequila, triple sec, some lime juice, and then some, like, top it off with a Modelo and some tahine.
Whew. Oh, Jesus.
Yes, yes. Yes. And then, of course, you know, it was great. And then, of course, you know, after, as I'm trying to, you know, go to bed, like after, you know, we've already popped two bottles of champagne, then all of a sudden this Huckleberry whiskey just appears. And I'm like, what? It is 11:30, y'all. I have to go to work tomorrow. What is going on? But I will just say this. Patrick Mahomes is now on his own tier. He is the closest thing that the sport of football will ever to see to Michael Jordan.
Football.
And I know that that is probably, like, I know that there are some Tom Brady and Joe Montana stands out there, and that is okay because Patrick Mahomes could retire tomorrow. He could retire at the parade on Wednesday and say, I'm hanging it up. And when he's 33 years old, they're putting him in the Hall of Fame. He's that good. Like, his resume is, in fact, that good just already. And
scary.
And he told y'all when he was up at the podium, don't ever bet against the Kansas City Chiefs as long as I'm the quarterback. And I truly do believe that. And so it's nice to know that in both football and football, I root for the teams who have the closest things to dynasties in their respective sports.
Witnessing great sports on both your football and football sides.
Correct.
Most definitely. Yes. Most definitely. Yeah. And I too enjoy a good Rotel cheese dip, except for you know how I do. I bump it up. So I always throw in a little bit more. It's the Fairfield milk, so it's like dairy free, but I throw in a little bit more of that to thin it out because I throw in more cheese and garlic and peppers and all kinds of just extra stuff in it. So it's legitimately like a taco dip. And instead of, I use ground beef and chorizo.
Oy. Yes. Oy.
Yes.
Con cuidado.
Yeah.
Oy.
It's pretty tasty. And so, and yeah, that was definitely fucked up. Burgers, some wings, all the typical Super Bowl all the foods. And so today I kept it real clean and had like a bagel for breakfast with water and a salad.
Ooh, I definitely had that salad for lunch and that avocado toast for breakfast.
So that's hilarious.
On that,
I was like, I need,
like, give me all of the green vegetable superfoods that I can possibly have.
Let's do the complete opposite. Let's drink all the water. Let's try to clean myself out a little bit. Yeah, I'm feeling good though. This is nice. It's been a crazy few days. We were up bright and early Saturday and Sunday for City Men and City Women. And then this morning I was up bright and early kicking it with Hassan Naeem and Howard Hawken being able to be on 93.20. If you guys subscribed to them, then hopefully you heard the episode. If you did, let me know what you thought, how I did. It was a great time chatting with him. The brains work on a other level, especially in real time, and picking up things from them, and yeah, just being able to take their energy. It was a good time. And Sharpie, he's not here, but I wanted to big up him because he was on Noisy Pod with LB and Mulv. It was a good time listening to him do his thing, bring his energy to Noisy. That was good. And naturally, beating LB, name that tune, showing off, representing Shady Game. Right. We out here.
Represent.
So, yeah, it's just, it's real nice seeing one of you guys out doing the thing, because I know a lot of people probably just think that I'm hoarding all the guest spots, but it's just like, I'm the one who's free in the middle of the day. I want them on other things. So if you're listening and you do a podcast, hit us up and ask specifically for them. I mean, please take them, You know, those parents with like four kids and they're just like, here.
It's important to note that both of those guys, all three of them, actually, with LB being a co-guest on there with the Noisy Boys, I mean, man, those are some quality folks to get your city content. LB and some of the early stuff that he puts out. Shout out to him for actually doing a little watch along for the Super Bowl as well. I got a chance to catch a little bit of glimpse. I was shocked. He got up there. It's amazing for me that some of them actually appreciate it out there. And obviously you get the entertainment value, right, with the commercials. Yeah. And I think all that's kind of liked as well. I know my wife absolutely was in love with Usher. I mean, shit, so was I. So shout out to them, because they're great, great city content for those guys to be putting it out there. So definitely give them a listen. Definitely. 100%. Noisy Neighbors, 9320. Great city content.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it.
Yeah.
Tom Bomb, what are those baby blue baddies doing to them?
They are advancing in cup tournaments, is what they're doing. And that is the. And you know what? And sometimes to advance in a cup tournament, you just got to get the one. You just got to get the one. And sometimes it can be a golazo. Sometimes it can be a simple tap in at the front of the post.
Love to see it.
But either way, I think that you are seeing, without Jill Roard, how this squad is kind of transforming and leaning more into their defensive solidity. And that just shows based off of the two clean sheets that Kiara Keating was able to keep in both of those matches. We will start with the Conti Cup match. I know against Spurs at their place. I know that we had talked last week about Gareth saying that they were going to pretty much play a set lineup. Like, it wasn't going to change a whole lot. And true to his word, like, it was pretty much the same lineup. So you had Keating starting in goal, Wahabi starting at left back, Greenwood and Kennedy starting at center back, Lai Alexandri starting out at right back, midfield, Yui Hasegawa, Philippa Engeldahl, and Jess Park earning her first start this season, and then at least in the midfield slot, and then across the top, Lauren Hemp, Khadija Shaw, Bunny Shaw, and Chloe Kelly. And there's not necessarily a whole lot to talk about offensively other than Yui scored her first goal in a city shirt, and it was a banger off of a set piece. Short corner taken. She's at the top of the box. And since she so rarely shoots, teams give her the space. And at that point, she was like, well, I'm going to take it on. And she hits it clean, hits a rocket, hits the underside of the post and bounces in under the line. And City go up 1-0 in the 34th minute. And never really looked back. This match was interesting because it seemed like City did a very good job of like seemingly conserving their energy for the next match, knowing that there wasn't going to be a whole lot of squad rotation, and there was not. And we'll definitely get into that when we talk about Sunday. But this match was so impressive to me in that Spurs did not attempt a shot. They didn't attempt a shot. Not a shot on goal. Like, they didn't attempt any shots. Cero. So I think, like, you see the team leaning into its defensive solidity. And like, it kind of reminds me of the early seasons with the men with Pep, how they would just play defense by holding on to the ball. That was the biggest thing that we did, was we just held the ball after that goal, and there was really nothing that Spurs was going to do to be dangerous. And even if Spurs were dangerous, we know that we have the most informed keeper in the WSL right now, and statistics will back that up. So that, to me, that was saying, okay, this match, we might not necessarily need to rely on our front three to get us goals. They can get us some chances, and they did have a few chances, not too terribly many, or at least none that they finished, obviously, but Yui finished hers, and that was really all the squad needed. So we will advance to the semifinals in the Conti Cup, and the Conti Cup draw has been made, and we will play Chelsea.
Because of course
we will. So if we win this cup, we will have certainly earned it. That is, there's no if, ands, or buts about that. And especially seeing the way that Ramirez scored in Chelsea's FA Cup match over the weekend, that was nasty. Oh, that was so nasty. Again, you know, you just gotta do what you can do to advance, and we did that. So that was our getting into the semifinals of the Conti Cup. So then we moved on to the FA Cup on Sunday, and that particular match, that was a bananas match to watch. Like, I felt like the first half of that match, and Krunk, I don't know how you felt about like watching the first half of that match, but I felt like there were times where both teams dominated and played the way that they wanted to play on the ball, but neither team was particularly efficient in the final third.
Yeah, not at all. What I will say is, oddly enough, throughout the whole match, I felt comfortable. I know you thought the match was going to end up in PKs anyway. I figured there was going to be a winner. I was hoping, praying, and assumed it was going to be on City's end. But I felt like just the way that both teams were playing, they weren't playing in a way that was like all the way. They weren't exactly playing for penalties. They were trying to go at it there, but also both teams' defenses are each side's best quality at the moment, especially with City losing Joe Ward and Arsenal's most of their players or their better attacking players coming back from injury and trying to figure out where they stand in the squad. So, yeah, it was just a lot of beautiful passing on both sides and just Keating playing lights out just in general. Yeah.
So let's get into our lineup for Sunday. So, again, we had Keating in goal, and I know that I've been saying this for at least a month. Like, Keating needs to – she's going to play in this match because she really thought that last time that we went to Meadow Park, she lost that match for us. So, like, she needs to play in that match, and she needs to be big in that match. And it was apparent that based off of her play that she was ready.
Let it be known that's the second thing that you actually called right. The first thing I'm going to point out after we do touch on this, because I've been saving this. I actually have a little quote that you dropped earlier, but go ahead, please continue.
So
you came to the Heat a week ago. The Heat needs to be acknowledged.
So left to right, we had Layla Wahabi, Alex Greenwood, Laya Alexandri, Kirsten Kasparai, Holding Mids, Yui, and Laura Coombs. Then we had Jess Park running the show, Lauren Hemp, Chloe Kelly, Bunny Shaw up top. I was really amazed in the first half specifically, like just the good areas that Jess Park was popping up on the pitch, just like little half spaces to take a turn, make a pass, get a touch, get it out wide. And she really directed traffic well until like in halftime. And that was you could tell that was a large adjustment. Like at halftime, they decided that they're going to have Kyra Cooney Cross mark Jess Park one for one. And that really did kind of start changing the dynamics of the match a lot. So you saw in like that first 15-20 minutes that City was kind of on their heels a little bit. And it was a little bit disconcerting to see. Arsenal made their subs first. They made I think Meg was the one that pointed it out on the Breaking Bread show. Like you just know at clockwork in the 65th minute that Jonas is going to make a sub. And sure enough, like in the 66th minute, like he brings off Katie McCabe and Alicia Russo and brings on Stunna Blackstenius and Steph Catley.
Which I felt was insane. Because like you said, they had control of the situation. Why would you kind of bring off your killers?
Straight up, Katie McCabe.
I got the Russo sub, but the Katie McCabe sub did not make any sense to me. I felt like
she's a scoundrel. She's a downright scoundrel.
Yes.
I just want to get it out there right now. She's a downright scoundrel. She's a bulldog of a player.
And I'm not a fan. I'm just
getting it out there right now.
And you know what? Here's the thing. If she played for my team, I would be so down for her. Like, absolutely.
Yeah. No, that.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying she's to the level, but I compare that same mentality to a Draymond Green.
You cannot stand the antics when you play against it,
but when you're on a team with her,
you're 100% you need that in that in your foxhole. And I do not like her. I do not like her. So,
and I get it. And she she got into it a couple of times with Lauren Hemp and Chloe Kelly both. I was very impressed with the amount of times that Gareth was switching the wings, switching the wingers, and getting them better matchups on fullbacks so that they couldn't really get a, like, I think that once he felt like Fox had a bead on Chloe Kelly, he would flip him and then have him work on the other fullback. So I didn't really understand that sub at all. So in the 73rd minute, City earns a set piece, a corner, in fact, and Chloe Kelly delivers it in and kind of pings around a little bit and falls to Laya Alexandri's feet. She just slots it home. Yes. You mad? Yeah. You mad?
You mad? You mad?
Shout out there.
And actually, I say this all of the time, and it's so nice to be validated on it. So, Lando, you remember in our last episode, we talked about how, after Julian's second goal, all of the players, all of the coaches were just mobbing that one coach who's the set piece coach. And both of City women's goals this week were set piece goals. In the whole week of training, apparently Gareth had him in with the team working on set pieces. And so, just that knowing that, this is what and I think that that's going to be something very important, particularly for the women going forward, because you don't have a player like Jill Ward, you're going to have to make sure that you're using Bunny's size appropriately, because she's Bunny and Kennedy are basically going to be your tallest players on the pitch. And we didn't get Kennedy in until stoppage time in this one. And I think Charlie even said it on the watch along, like, the Alex Greenwood is a terrific defender. The one place that you can get her is when she has to fight for an aerial duel. Like, and it's not that she's not a tall player. It's not that she's not a physical player. She just kind of misreads the ball and like when she needs to jump sometimes. So yeah, there's sometimes that she can get got in the air. But in the 74th minute, 1-0 City. And then at that point, it just kind of seemed like it became the Kiara Keating show. Like it, like, yes, like at just,
the amazing stops,
saves that she was making, like just even the save that she bobbled, like, yeah, I guess you could say that maybe part of it crossed the line, but I don't feel like all of it crossed the line.
All of the ball.
I mean, yeah. Do we want to go there? Because that was a moment, right? That was, yeah, I think, a huge moment. I think a lot of Arsenal fans, I'm very curious to hear some of our Arsenal friends and their rebuttal to some of this, because that was a moment for him to bitch about. I mean,
well, here's the,
I really don't know because of the angles that I saw. I just want to get it out there right
the
now.
Angles were awful. The angles were awful.
Horrible angles, Meadow Park. What are you doing?
But here's the deal. Like, in like the first 10 minutes of the match, like, on a like a driven ball in, Lada Wubin Moy like takes her forearm to Bunny's face and in the box, and nothing is called. Like, I would be surprised if the FA did not, and like, I'm sure that they have probably, they might look over this later in the week, but I would be surprised if they did to her what they did to Rachel Daly, which is basically issue a retroactive red card and suspend her for 3 matches, because even that was the definition of violent contact. And like,
yes, it was egregious.
And like, I'm not out here saying that Lada Wubin Moy is a dirty player. I like, far from the contrary, like, and like, her reputation about being a clean player, like, kind of precedes her in a lot of ways. At the same time, that was dangerous and violent conduct inside of the box. Like, and I don't know
no me gusta
who was looking at what or why, but I whatever, you know, like, survive and advance. That's really all of it needs to happen in a cup competition. And so we have done that, and we now know from the FA Cup draw that we will we will be taking on Spurs away again in the quarterfinal. No, it might not be the greatest matchup for us, but I think, you know, we've already beaten this team several, like, in league, in cup competitions. We know what they want to do to us, and we know how to break them down. And we obviously know how to play with the ball such that they won't get a shot, a single solitary shot.
Exactly. Yeah, I was just about to say that. Also, slight, just kind of, just personal flavor and tasting, especially from the college basketball side. T would get this if he was here. I don't like playing a team more than 3 times. Period. Yeah. Period. Bar none. I just don't want to see after the third or the fourth time. I mean, at this point, you know when I'm gonna pass gas. Like, you know everything at that point. You know what I mean? Like, you really can only do so much. So that's just my thoughts on that.
And it will be interesting to see if there is any some sort of like rotated lineup, or if they're like, what shifts that Gareth is gonna try and lean into, just to get that advantage on Spurs, just to make sure that we advance to the semifinals. So,
well, if yes, I may please say something real quick, I've been low-key stressed because Gareth has been doing such a decent job this season, and 2 big wins this week, and really I would have to give him credit for this until he gave all of his credit to Carlos Vincent. And it's just like, okay then, Gareth, Carlos, good job, you.
But like,
GT, what are you doing?
But I think, like, there, yes, and I think that there's a level of humility to
know.
A level of humility to know that, hey, I'm struggling. Like, my squad is struggling with set pieces. I need to find a way. Like, I need to find a way to score off of them. Let me
take advantage of the resources available. Yes.
Which I don't know. Like, because I don't think that that's something that Gareth Taylor of the 21-22 season would have done. I don't even think that that's something that the Gareth Taylor of the 22-23 season would have done. So, like, I do have to give him at least that little bit of credit for that. But we continue in league play with probably the most anticipated match of the WSL season as it has shaken out. Chelsea hosting City. This is going to be at King's Meadow, not at Stamford Bridge. And actually, that's probably a better environment for that. This match is going to be really interesting. Like, Emma Hayes has been trying to do a lot of different things. And it's very apparent that her squad wants them to be, they want to win a quadruple. Like, they want to win all of the trophies that are available to them in the last year of Emma Hayes. That stated, even though their five-match form will give you five W's, yes, like, and that's kind of what you expect, the way that they are getting those W's is not super impressive. Like, Crystal Palace is not a good team. Like, they're just not. Like, even in the championship, they're not doing quite that well. But the fact that they held Chelsea scoreless for almost 90-some minutes and had to have Myra Ramirez score an absolutely ridiculous goal in order just to advance in that particular competition, like, they've kind of been off it a little bit. And I think that the time is right for them to get got. Now that, I mean,
yeah, buddy.
I mean,
buddy.
I get that the match is at their place, but I get the feeling that one of the themes of this season, particularly for this squad, seems to be redemption and retribution. And if you remember the reverse fixture, this was the crazy ass red card game where Alex Greenwood got a red card, Lauren Hemp got a red card. Hell, they, like, we played with nine players, so we only had eight outfield players, basically, and then the only way that they equalized the match was because Alana Kennedy was not on the pitch because she suffered an injury before they took the corner that equalized. So we were defending that corner with seven. So I really do think that the squad is in retribution mode. Like, we need to give them back what we owe them. Just like Riley Freeman, you gonna pay what you owe.
That was so good.
Like, oddly fantastic. Like, what is going on? So
good. Number one show for our podcast. That is 100% a nomination for best limited fake impersonation. That wins.
That was quality.
So yeah, I mean, but yeah, we owe them something. So I think that the time is right, and I see a evenly played match. I see a well-played match, and I see a one-goal victory. I mean, it could, like, honestly, it could be 1-0 like the last two matches. It could be 2-1. But I just see City being able to stop goals from going in the back of the net since Kiara Keating, again, like, you look up the stats, it's not even close. Like, she is the best goalkeeper in the WSL right now. No one is stopping shots at the frequency at which she is stopping them. No one is getting the clean sheets like she has. And I think that leaning into that defensive solidity when you don't have a player like Jill Roard, who's basically like making those runs into the box on the like and giving the cutbacks to the wing availables to the wingers, you're going to need to just be more defensively solid than you have been in the past. And it's not like we don't have the defenders to do that. So just kind of lean into that. I think I will be interested to see whether or not Emma tries to play Fran Kirby and Lauren James together. I think one of the things that like will get Lauren James like into her head and out of the match is when she's playing a position that like is not necessarily familiar with her. Like I know Emma in a few matches ago played her as the false nine, and that was not gonna do it for Chelsea. Like she's because she was expected to take all of the so many shots, and when they're not going in, she's just kind of tuned out, and then that's when you can see those like very wild cards that she gets for no reason. So Emma has Myra Ramirez, and she appears to be in form, and I think Fischl's kind of like they're slow playing her health a little bit, and I'm not sure how much of that is like, oh, she's actually hurt, or oh, let me make sure that you're good for this international break, because you know that's my other job. But I get the feeling that Yui is going to have her hands full in this particular match, because she's going to have to figure out what to do with Fran Kirby and with Lauren James. But I do think that as long as they do not make Lauren James a winger, I think that our fullbacks should be able to withstand this. I definitely think that we're going to get Layla and Kermit, Kirsten Kasparai, in this match, just because they do, like, Canterit is fast. So we're definitely going to need that speed on the pitch. So that's why Kasparai is going to be the starter. But again, one goal win, be it 1-0, 2-1. I just see it Friday night football, and we're going to get that up, get those 3 points and get level with Chelsea. And I think that they're, yeah, I mean, because if we beat them by two, that means that we're not only are we even on points, but we're also even on goal difference. So,
well, it's just important to note that a week ago on this very pod, you had the foresight to go ahead and note an impactful statement. This resonated with me. It's hit with me. You know, I turned to you in regards to these women and how we need to be approaching this season. And you had the gall, the gumption, go ahead and come out and say, even though it is not league play, this week and these upcoming games are pivotal for how this season can be defined. My man, they went 2-0. How are we feeling going into this Chelsea match with, now it said, you were spot on, pivotal. I am looking at it now, going back to league play, like, let's go. There's a certain energy right now in the way that the victories are coming. Kansas City Chiefs, 3 seed, not playing the best, but somehow finding a way to win type vibes to me. Talk to me about how I should be going into this Chelsea match.
You know, it's so funny that you say that, because like, as I was talking about like leaning more into the defensive solidity of the team, I was actually thinking a lot about the Chiefs. How this season they had to lean much more on their defense than they have in previous seasons to get this championship. And in this, for Manchester City women, in order for them to achieve the goals that they want to achieve, they will need to lean far more into their defense, which is obviously better than it has been in previous seasons. So I think that that defensive solidity that we're seeing, yes, it is cup competition, and yes, it's survive in advance, and you know, maybe you're not trying to expend a whole lot of energy, and knowing what you have available to you, and knowing that obviously it's been the defense has been what is carrying you through the season. Like, yeah, those seven goals games are nice, but like the fact that like they come off of the heels of like, oh, but they let in zero goals. Like that, I know that Charlie says all the time, like clean sheets don't matter. Like, you know, like, but at the same time, I think when there's this disparity, like there's far more talent disparity in the WSL than there is in the Prem. I think like anybody who watches footy can see that. But so when there is that much disparity in talent, when you are one of the more talented squads and you can go out and dominate the lesser talented squads and make sure that you're not going to score, you're not going to get a shot on goal, you're not going to get a shot, like that says to the other that there's a demoralizing angle to that. And I think that, that's what we will need to lean on going forward. And I think like just even to expand upon that, like in so many ways, like that match Sunday, like defined the season, not only for us, but it's defined it for Arsenal too, because at this point they're 3 points off. They're 6 points off the lead. Even if we win and level points on Chelsea and they win over the weekend as well, and they're just three back of all of us, like, we still
goal differentials way down, yeah, though.
Goal differentials
for them is way down.
Their goal differentials bad. We still get to play Arsenal at our place because when we play them in the season, we play them there. So we still get to play Arsenal at their place. So essentially, Arsenal, for all intents and purposes, you can pretty much kiss Arsenal's WSL title chances out the window. And then we just knocked them out of the FA Cup. So really, at this point, mm-hmm. the only thing that they are playing, like the only hardware that they're playing for, realistically, is the Conti Cup. And
pobrecito. Oh.
Oh, pobrecita.
Oh, pobrecito.
So at this point, like, yes, like, I think that this is, to me, if I am Jonas Eidevall, like, this should spur me to make a lot of different changes that, but I'm not sure that he's ready to do that. And that's cool. Like, I mean, if you want to just keep on doing the same shit, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, so
please.
So yeah.
I'm not gonna, this has nothing to do with anything, but I'm triggered. I had a high school girlfriend that whenever she would annoy the fuck out of me and I'd be like, you need to chill, she'd be like, oh, provecito. So like, you all saying that, I was just like, don't be condescending to me, woman.
So true.
So yeah, that's what we got for these baby blue baddies, you know, advancing in cup competitions, like square, you know, focusing on the biggest match of the season in league play for sure. So I'm excited about it. I actually do get off work right at 1 o'clock. I don't know how I'm gonna figure out a way to like watch kickoff at 1:15, but I'm gonna do so with an alcoholic beverage in my hand.
What do we know what it's
about? I'm gonna say in the United States that it is either
Hold on. Charlie put it in the chat, didn't he? Didn't he put a link that the game got rescheduled or the viewing? It could be watched now.
The FA Cup was available on ESPN Plus. I don't think that they've, at least not in the United States, they haven't given a broadcaster, yeah, but I think that it will probably either be a Paramount match, or if they're feeling
it better be on Paramount,
or if they're feeling really fancy, they'll put it on CBS Sports Network.
Hey,
oh yeah, or that, yeah, something like that. It just needs the proper.
It's attention. The biggest.
I want to be able to
it's the biggest match of the season. Like you want as many eyeballs on it as possible. And I hope that the WSL is working to make that happen.
Yes, agreed. Here, here. Hey, let's get chatting about City Men.
I mean, yeah.
A lot less going on with them. Just the Premier League match against Everton. Ooh, what a match. Two goals from Haaland. The starting lineup. Oddly enough, I loved the starting lineup because, well, let's say the lineup first and then I'll get into it. Ederson, Stones, Diaz, Ake, Akanji, Rodri, Nunez, Doku, Alvarez, Foden, and Erling Haaland. I loved it because it was a little bit of our defensive solidity that brought us the trouble last year. I liked that. But then seeing Doku and Nunez, I was like, okay, cool. That means if we need to, we can take advantage of the counterattack. Those are the players that exactly that's perfect for. And then kind of the match happened. That was tough. Did this lineup say, like, give you a forewarning or, like, did something in your brain be like, foreshadow, this is going to be trouble? Like, or did were you like me? You saw this lineup and you're like, cool, this should be able to handle Everton. Tom, we'll start with you.
I saw this lineup and my thoughts were like, I thought it was a little bit interesting that Doku started over Jack, just from the standpoint, like, if you were going to have a player on the wing that you needed, that you knew needed to break down a low block, that you would pick Jack over Doku. That stated, I felt that Doku really acquitted himself very, very well. Like, in the first half, like, he seemed to be the only player that was getting any sort of joy at all. And like, and I don't know whether that was like a result of Dice just saying like, okay, we're going to make sure that we mark Haaland. We're going to make sure that we mark Alvarez. We're going to make sure that we mark Foden. But Doku, we're going to let him get his just because we don't feel like his final pass is as effective as it needs to be. And it seems like that they were fine living that way. And we just did not seem to put any chances away until we did.
Okay. Well, I don't even want to throw the same question to you, Lando, so I will repurpose it. With Bernardo, KDB, Grealish, Walker on the bench, did this lineup didn't say to you Pep could be looking more towards FC Copenhagen in a couple of days?
That's a really good point. I think back to the Gundo masterclass and heroic moments that saved us last year against Everton. Somehow managed to get a kick that was equal to like the side of his face backwards and kind of nice little goal within the box last year. Shout out to Gundo. Laughing at him at Barca though. guys, I am in so much comfort when I see Nathan Ake on the pitch. Mm. I am in so much comfort when I see a Rodri and an Akanji and a John Stones flavor. A little bit disappointed in Matthias Nunes. But when we talk about Doku in that first half and him only really having the only be one having some joy out there, I mean, so electric. So electric. I thought it was interesting that Pep decided to bring the chaos from the jump against a team that we know is fucking boring. I'm sorry, Everton. God, I can we just have a moment to discuss the absolute disgusting behavior of players like Tarkowski and Godfrey? I mean, just absolutely pleasantly boring is what they are to me. And I hate every bit of it. I really do. Not excited to play a team like this, but I did love the Doku
spunk and electric vibes that he brought from the jump. So yeah, that's an interesting point that Tom brings up with Jack and not going that way, but comfort in what I saw in the lineup. I felt good about it, honestly. Kronk, how did you feel about it? You felt you just everything was good. Everything was kind of like Pep we trust. I have no really kind of qualms with seeing Alvarez and like, I guess maybe not it, but posing it this way, like you did. No Kevin, no Bernardo. We're good. We're good with that.
Yeah. I mean, knew what Everton was going to do. What helps me so much is, especially now that I'm doing these breaking breads and I have to do prep for that, and I then look into the teams and I'm watching highlights and how they're playing, and I'm just watching Everton and I'm looking up Jack Harrison is their basically only goal scorer and contributor in their last five matches. The just overall Pep is basically unbeatable when it comes to playing Sean Dyche, and Manchester City has easily dispatched Everton.
Who was suspended for this match? For yellow.
Exactly.
Yellow card.
He had a whole earbud in trying to like work it that way. It was just, I don't know. Nothing about it worried me, especially at their home with everything hovering over them. They have a new stadium that's being built, so even their fans are kind of like mentally checked out of their current stadium, even though it's like historic and they've had it for a while, all those things. Yeah, I wasn't worried, and I naturally want to start where everybody starts, is fucking Godfrey kicking Ederson in the face. Seriously. Like, bro, I'm so tired. I said it on 93.20. Look, I'm furious. I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm not surprised. I saw the same thing happen with Bunny. Should something happen? Yes. Do I think something's going to happen? Absolutely not. And so with that, I can't even spend too much time trying to rage against it, because all it's going to do is just stress me out. And this club needs our support, not screaming at the sky because it's raining. They are who they are. We know who they are. It is what it is.
We were unified in booing the Premier League anthem, though, when it did come on prior to the match. So it's good to point that out real quick.
And Sharpie told us it wasn't a good idea, even though I know it's a completely different thing. That's Champions League and that's Premier League. But I don't know. Well, they're all evil. They're the ones who are the cheats.
They can all get this lawyer work. 115
charged them.
They can all get this lawyer work.
So I think, like, watching this match, like, I overslept, so I couldn't join you all for the pre-match show. So, like, when I woke up, it was, like, the 20th minute, and I was just watching all of these chances fall by, being created, but falling by the wayside, not really clinical. And then going into the second half, like, more of the same. Even once we made the subs, even when we subbed out Akanji and Nunez, we still weren't like clicking or firing. And I put it on in our Slack, like, oh, I've seen City Football Club play this match before. This is the Brighton match that the women played, where Brighton scored in the 88th minute after City had 70-some percent possession, whole bunch of shots on target, just not clean, not clinical. I was like, oh God.
So disgusting. Like, don't you feel like you have to shower just describing that? You have to go clean yourself just describing that disgusting madness.
So it was like, oh God, have I seen City play this match before? Because, like, I'm going to be really disappointed if this is how this all plays out. Like, really, really disappointed. And shout out to Charlie for keeping us optimistic and realistic, honestly, in letting us know exactly what was about to happen.
Yeah, it took, 16, 17 minutes from our first set of subs of KDB and Nunez and Walker for Akanji before we even really got a goal. Like, there was a whole other sub it was stressful. I took in my notes that it was about 15 minutes for City to stop looking so frenetic, or the fact that they were letting Everton handle things, but it took about 25 minutes for City to actually start passing the ball around, having the ball for significant bouts of time without Everton sneaking in there and jumbling it back up before City are falling down or trying to take extra few yards off of free kicks or throws in. Everton, they frustrate me. It's like, I talk about this all the time. These old dinosaur style football, they just need to get out of here. And I understand there's always going to be those types of people. And not everyone can play free, open, expansive football. But
I know
half of the players. I know some of these players on this team don't want to play this style, but it is what it is. We saw with Nigeria, like, that's how they fell apart, because they were both teams have some players on those squads, but I felt like Nigeria's team had the more dynamic players. I mean, obviously, Osimhen was injured, and especially by the end of it, but it was, I don't know, they just felt like once they got that goal, they were just playing until the rest of the match, not even to score. Yeah. And it's like, you're playing against other world-class athletes. You can't do that for 40, 50 minutes. That just doesn't make any sense. And even as a player, I would never want to ask that of my players, to be like, hey, you know how you scored a goal on your own? Stop doing that. Let's do something else. It's just like, what? Why?
Shout out to the homies, Courtney Stith and Andre Carlisle over to Diaspora United. I believe they call it suffer ball. And I can't think of a more apt description of what Everton under Sean Dyche is currently doing than suffer ball.
It's creating a new brand of suffer ball. It's like, it's awful. But let's get to some joyous things. The Haaland first goal, again, from a set piece. Like, are we going to lose him to another club? Because that seems to be what happens. Whenever we find joy and we start giving some other person other than Pep attention, they then disappear from City Football.
But it's usually the person that's like right next to him, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's usually the person that like is sitting.
He's a few rungs down.
Yeah,
so
it seems Lando, like you. Probably have a better insight on this than I would, but like, my understanding is like in basketball, like, you know, there's that front like row of coaches that like are like, you know, like the associate head coach and like, and then there's another row of coaches that like they have like certain, like this coach is in charge of all the inbound plays and this coach is like in charge of like transition defense or what have you. Like, he seems like he's more on that second row. Like, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
And some of those guys on the second row are only exclusively looking at one to two things. So, like, whatever it is, I mean, you know, he probably, not to say that he's like only like a one trick pony, right? Like that he only knows like set pieces or anything like that. But like his role is clearly just that, and that's perfectly fine. But I mean, the refreshing things that certain managers or certain assistant managers or coaches bring to the table, and the ones that you can fight in, no matter what the role, I think it's important to note that it's whether you are a one trick pony or whether you're as diversified as anyone else, it's, you are needed. It is needed. And if you fit a role, you fit the check marks, then it's going to work somehow. But I mean, I don't know. I don't really like the concept of even talking about losing a manager into existence or losing a side. But we've lost so many lately, boys. We've lost so many. It's shameful. Yeah. It really is. It really is. And Pep doesn't have – he somehow goes away. Do you recall the summer – when we were in Asia doing our preseason, he still didn't even have the full coaching staff agreed on.
one of the guys that he was bringing on was at Saudi League leaving and coming back. So it's one of those things that he's very unique in that sense, that he's just, he keeps it going. He just keeps it going somehow. Too tight for me, though. I don't really like it.
Well, I mean, to your point, I think, Lando, you said this a few shows ago. You said, this is when old boy left and went to United. You said, winning is a disease, and you want some of what we got. So it doesn't necessarily surprise me that, like, because honestly, like, a lower in the table squad, like, and not just like necessarily in England, but like anywhere across Europe, would probably be very smart to go after Vicens, because if he knows how to organize set pieces, like, oh, like, he knows how to keep me up, like, because everybody's gonna have to take a set piece and everybody's gonna have to defend a set piece. So, like,
so you're just promoting the fact that you want negative Nancy Sean Dyche to go ahead and go get him as an assistant and bring
absolutely not.
That, but it's so, to your point, it would work. it would work. I mean, look how Everton were successful with set pieces so far. So whoever their assistant is and doing their shit, let him keep doing their thing. Stay away from our boy. But yeah, no, you're spot on with that. Can I talk some of this positive into the atmosphere right now? My dear DJ Vincent Company, or bouncer who still doesn't want to get it right with your attire and your clothing, sir, I politely ask, come back. Come be an assistant under Pep for a year or two. I would love to see you implement your mind with some of the boys that you've already kind of been there. I do find the I don't know. I'm speaking out of unfamiliarity, because I don't know how Pep does things, but it would be a little bit interesting to kind of understand how a Kevin De Bruyne reacts to having a Vincent Kompany as his manager, or as an assistant, right? I would imagine the same way he would have as a certain someone over in fucking Arsenal. But I don't know. I would love Vincent Kompany to come back for a year or two and get himself some winning vibes back into his veins.
Yeah, I think he could do it. And it would, like, if he, as long as he's coaching the defenders, like, because if you think about it, like, the only the defenders that he played with for the most part are gone, save for Walker, Stones, and like Diaz. And like Diaz and Stones were puppies, basically, when
Stones for sure.
So yeah, like, that, I, to me, that's a move that works.
Did Diaz and Kompany ever play? I don't think they ever were together. I don't think Ruben Diaz and the company ever play together. I might be wrong on the timing here. I think you're right about Stones. Stones 100% was there, because that was the year Vincent's last year, the one he had the crazy shot over Leicester outside the box. I distinctively remember Stones had been an impactful player that year for us. So I know he was on that roster, but I'd be curious if, I don't know, anything to get fucking Ruben figured out and right back on track. I'd love for him to get some.
And I think that would,
under company tutelage?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Xavi says he's already has his spot reserved, so company's going to have to find somewhere else.
Oh, I like that. I would welcome that little Spaniard.
Yeah, I think it's happening. I think he's coming to City.
Anybody else?
I don't hate it. I think that he just experienced too much success too early. The worst thing that could have happened to him is Barcelona winning the league last year, and so now, like, expectations are high, and now that there's expectations, it's like, y'all are the meanest people I've ever met in my life. Like, I never want to.
Qué mierda, pobrecito. Se ganaron uno y ya se quiere más. Oh, wow. What happens? What a sad man. They win one and go figure they want more. Oh, pobrecito. How difficult. Nah, Javi's got some bitch made in his blood. Let me get it out there right now. Mosquito muerte is what you call it in Spanish. There's a little drama queen, a little bit of somebody. No, you don't have to listen to it, bro. You're the one out there. La Liga's crazy for the press conference that they do. It's crazy for the amount of coverage that they have. They're almost asking their asses every day to go up and speak with a microphone. Certain ones don't get it. Certain ones don't like it. Xavi is clearly one who can't vibe with it, which is crazy to me because the motherfucker was a player. Like, he was there. You know what we're talking about. This is your club. And the fakeness, too. The shrewd bit of, oh, well, this is something I decided before the year. When flash forward a couple days ago, Deco, your current director, has the gall to come out and say, no, we had him fully finished mentally, all of us. We're thinking he was going to see out the contract. Oh, mentiroso. Liar, bro. Mentiroso. Somebody out there don't know. The left don't know what the right's doing. Nincompoops. But I welcome him. Boom, Xavi. I like assistant vibes for Xavi, to be honest.
Yes, I do. He fits a lot better in assistant vibes. Like, he should not.
And don't you dare come near the press conference. You're not get the microphone away. Get him. Don't ask a tough question to him. He's soft, like a certain German in Liverpool. He's delicate. The certain questions.
I thought you were going to say a certain German in Munich, but we can go there later.
I love it. So true too.
Before we get into shock awe and football applause, I want to do a quick preview score prediction for the Champions League.
We gotta talk about the second Haaland goal.
We got way off. You're right. You're right. Oh, the second goal. Oh, man. KDB's majesty. And then Haaland just...
Get off me!
He didn't throw Brathwaite off.
Get off me!
Brathwaite jumped on him, tried to jump on him, and was just like, oh, this is a lot of man, and just kind of bounced off. Then Haaland did what we have become used to Haaland doing, but was not what Haaland was doing. So it does look like we got our Haaland back. We got our man back. Two goals. He looked so joyous. You could tell he needed those goals.
Mm-hmm. That goal does not happen without the dogged work that Nathan Ake did outside the box to win the ball. Specifically off of old as Methuselah Ashley Young. I cannot believe that man started Premier League.
He's still doing it.
God bless his heart.
I'll say it. I need him to piss in a cup. I'll say it. I'll go there. I'm sorry. First off, let me, and I'll be honest with you, being that negative, but I'll also be a little positive here. That beautiful facial features. The man is aged magnificently.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
I mean, just for magnificently. Sure. If I'm going to be compared, Ashley Young, you still got that young in you, bro. Yes. Facially, yes. You look wonderful. You are a good-looking man. I will acknowledge that. Well, one of the and he shaved. He doesn't. Is he bald or does he do a purposely shave kind of thing? I don't really notice it. I just bald. Those eyebrows and those cheeks. He's got it going. Is he? Well. The face is still popping, bro. But it's in a cup because this is a little ridiculous.
But like the work that Nathan Ake did to get the ball, to win the ball, and then immediately know like, okay, let me just get this to Kevin so he can just make some shit happen, which he immediately made some shit happen. Like it was everything that you wanted in a goal from all three lines of your squad. Like the defender winning the ball, getting it to the midfield, the midfielder seeing the attacker making the run, getting that pinpoint pass to him, and then just letting him run onto the ball. I think that like Julian would have made that run. Julian would have got on the ball. Julian might have made contact with Brathwaite and then tried to make a move on him as opposed to throw him off just because, you know, he's not like the physical specimen that Haaland is.
He would have pulled back. Yeah, he wouldn't have gotten to the part to where he allowed for the contact. Yes. Yeah. He would have ball rolled over and waited for more help kind of thing. I don't think he – I think he's smart enough to know he's not going body to body. That Brentworth is – that's a body. That's a body that Howland shoved down.
And so what I will even say – I will give him on that. When we played Everton at the beginning of the season, I was like, oh, he still has a lot of growing to do. He's done that growing since our last time we played him because there were a couple moments where I saw him and I was like, yo, that's – oh, bro's been hitting the gym. He's been getting that. Well, like, respect to the.
I know that they were. I know what they were saying in commentary that like they want him to like. They're, you know, him and his agent are looking at moves. Everton is looking at moves for him. If they don't, you know, stay up this season, and like a lot of larger clubs are in fact interested in him because you know he's a young defender, and
they should be. Yes.
Yeah.
He looks great. Yeah. No, he's I would be very okay with City getting him, but he wouldn't be okay with
sitting,
waiting, and are being like, yeah, sent somewhere for a loan because he could be playing big minutes, good minutes for a pretty decent team next year. He's
left footed, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he is. Yep. Yeah.
Dude's a English. Baller.
Yeah, so he'd be a homegrown player. Like, that's, yeah, that would be clutch. If needed. Then all the fake injuries and time wasting went away and the match finished.
You did that.
I'm so annoyed.
You
did that.
You said that.
Deitch, he gave credit to Lon where he's like, No chippers, no dippers, no, none of that. Basically just saying Haaland doesn't do any of that fancy stuff. He just gets the ball and the net. That was respect from Deitch, just being like, hey, man, I tried my best to fuck that game up.
did.
Oh man, it's
an asshole takes pride in it too.
He does.
Stand him.
He loves it so much.
Could not support anything he does.
I don't like playing it, but watching someone else play it, yeah, that's fun. It's a good time watching him frustrate the hell out of another squad. Love it. But dude, leave my squad alone. Let us beat you.
Yeah, seriously.
Ugh, it's annoying. Anything else in the match before we move on? Cool. Manchester City traveled to Copenhagen in the first leg of a round of 16 to play at the Parken. Thanks again to Morten Parsner of Kvartai Bold. They are a FC Copenhagen podcast. It was a wonderful conversation talking all things Copenhagen. You can still watch the episode, run those numbers up before the match plays. He was fantastic. Honestly, let me know very much about the team. They have really just like a defensive midfielder who's great. And he's kind of been their version of their Rodri. He will be their best player and their biggest. He's going to be the one who's going to give us the most trouble. Why can I not find his name? Oh well. Rasmus Falk. There we go. Rasmus Falk. He is the one player. And he also said he runs very funny. He said he almost runs like an inflatable person. So when he runs, his arms kind of do this. So you'll notice who he is.
Inflatable person.
Yes. Yeah, and he did that during the recording, too. He did this. I was like, oh, we're out of here. I like this guy.
I like him.
Yeah. He said, best case scenario, it's a 1-1 draw. There have been key players injured. Normally, Copenhagen plays a pretty open, fun, entertaining style. That falls into City's trap. So he thinks the manager is going to try to play for a more destructive style. Not quite Everton bad, but it's going to be, you know, not the most fun possibly. But they're the type of team that they can't help themselves. They're going to want to attack. And that's kind of the good thing when you play those teams who normally do come at you, but then when they play Big Bad City, they try to change their tactics for one match, but in their heart of hearts, they want to run at City. And that's what always happens. They start getting like the strikers creep up further and further. They're helping less and less on defense, and City are able to pick apart in that midfield, the 1-2 passes, get players open and score, do our thing. I am hopeful. I really want a 2-0, but for some reason, I just don't think it's going to happen. 2-1. I think it's going to be a 2-1. Hmm. I think they're going to get one on us. They're home. I hear that it's a really strong place. The crowd is very loud and raucous. They're going to bring it.
So I think that if you kind of look at the bench of this and I haven't looked at the traveling roster to Copenhagen, but and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but looking at the bench, it kind of tells you who's about to start in this next match. So I have Ederson in goal. I think we're going to have Akanji, Walker, and Vardial as our defenders. Rico's going to sit alongside Rodri. We'll have Jack, KDB, Phil, Bernardo, and then Holland up top. And I got 3-1 in this match. Like, just kind of let them know, like, hey, like, this is cute. You know, y'all got a nice little place here, but we are the defending Champions League champions, and we're about to show it to you in your own house. So I got 3-1 to us.
And actually, I take my one. We're not giving away goal. I think it's 2-0.
I love it. 2-0. Build on a little clean sheet.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
The One Football website has a FC Copenhagen predicted lineup. And if I'm looking at some of these names are a little bit familiar. Alunusi, who actually played in the Prem. Goncalves, who actually came from Sporting Lisbon over there to Copenhagen. They got some ballers. They got some ballers. Obviously, we brought up Falk. Baby Hoyland is actually there. This is a good team. Good little roster.
Baby Hoyland's been broken all season.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that ass is about to get broken. 3-0.
Oh, let's go.
Let's do it.
We're stomping. We're stomping. And I think you set the situation perfectly. They cannot help who they are, and they're going to want to go forward. And to them, I say, you're at home. I encourage you to play your ball. I encourage you to play your ways, because quite frankly, sir, matchup to matchup, in where we are in the Champions League, where you're Danish champions, you've done everything. You play your game and go for it, papa. Be who you are. Wear those stripes. 3-0. We're putting 3 on that dome, boy. Because when you play your game, you ain't playing man-to-man with us like that. 3-0. 100%.
Love that. Love that.
All right, some shock, awe, and football applause. I actually do want to change it because we more and more talk about the football world outside of Manchester City, and who Shades of Blue is soon to become is outside of the Manchester City bubble. So I feel like, yeah, let's just shock, awe, and football applause. We can talk about anyone without having to, especially because when I wasn't here and Sharpie was like, oh, I know Krunk prefers it to be premiere. Why are you putting it on me? Don't blame me. No, fine. No more of that anymore. Now it's just football applause. You talk about whatever you want, and don't try to be like, ha ha ha, I'm doing outside of what Krunk says. Do whatever you want to do now. Now what?
Just kidding. Charlie's revolutionizing stuff.
Really is. Really is.
Well, because I had the idea in my head, and I've been thinking about it for a while, especially after like Lando and I both were talking about Drona for one episode. And then that was like, okay. And then I wasn't on that episode, and then he said that about it. So I was like, oh, there we go. It's official. Because even when I was listening to you guys, when you were covering the match, which, by the way, I didn't talk about that. I loved it. How you each took a match and you all did the thing, the shared love. I love that very much. It was just... It's great. It's great hearing you guys.
I mean,
yeah, that's right. When
Pep gives us a compliment, man, that hits, baby. That's my coach. That's my manager.
Yeah, it's and even I was talking with Sharpie about the differences when he was recording with Noisy, like all that stuff. Sometimes you got to experience and record with other people for you to kind of be like, all right, you might pick up new things. Because a lot of you guys, yes, this is a visual pod, but I know when you're getting close to finishing up what you're saying just from, I guess, the way you talk, like, and the pauses and stuff that you, so that's usually why I'm pretty good at killing, I guess, dead air and knowing things like that. I love it. There's just the whole process of getting to know each other and other people. And then just slowly taking over the football content community, baby. We out here. We out here.
Go.
Hey, Shaka and football applause. We got those damn Scousers first, Man City second, Arsenal third, Tottenham fourth, Aston Villa fifth, Manchester United sixth, and Newcastle seventh. Everton, Burnley, and Sheffield are kicking it at relegation station. Everton, Luton, and Nottingham Forest, they all sit within 3 points of each other in that whole last spot in relegation. And then, what is it, 16th and 15th spot. Burnley and Sheffield, they kind of feel locked in to get relegated. Everton could possibly get saved by earning points back from fighting that independent commission ruling. Everton, without their 10-point deduction, they'd be sitting in 12th behind Chelsea.
Scary.
For where Everton stands and how hideous of a play style they employ at times, they really aren't having a bad season exactly. And Sean Dyche, I hate to say it, really should get respect for what he's doing with his club. Sean Dyche and his, like, merry band of asshats. Like, I get it.
And old Ash
my young. Shock. Yes, like, they're gonna get my shock for, you know, giving City one hell of a fight. My applause, though, is for Girona Football Club, who was properly dispatched by Real. Like, you tell that Real, they were looking forward to that match. Tired of people like me talking cash in about what Girona is about to do in La Liga. I don't want people to forget that last season, Girona, they finished 10th in La Liga. And two seasons ago, they were in the Segunda Division. So what they have managed to accomplish so far this season needs to be applauded. If Girona can hold on to their Champions League position, going into a second season in the top league, like Artem Dovbrik, he was 7 million euros transfer. That was their record fee that they've ever played for a player. Like, they still have so much room to grow, so much to do. And look where they are. Even Dovbrik, he sits third in the Golden Boot race. They've been maximizing potential from players who have become afterthoughts in football. A few names that you might know from the City Football group umbrella: Alex Garcia, Jan Couto, Iñigo Herrera, Eric Garcia. Like, Girona has been able to bring Daley Blind's career out of ice. Basically, he's playing the best football he has since he was brought to Old Trafford. Yikes, we all know how that went. But it's just like, Savio, City being able to bring him in. Michel Sanchez, their manager. Shout out to him. What the football club has been able to do. If they continue these shrewd player moves, I'm really, really going to enjoy watching all the Bahia and Girona matches next season. And because of that, both of those clubs are going to force me to have to wear more red than I guess I've ever had, other than last year's away kit.
I agree. I'm the same way.
well, I mean, we we know what it is about my football team. So I have a lot of red. So I'm going to say for my applause, I am going to give it to Xabi Alonso and the Bundesliga table leading Bayer Leverkusen for absolutely dismantling Bayern Munich over the weekend, 3-0. And it mainly because, like, one, like, they are for real. Like, this is the first time that you can. I don't remember the last time that Bayern's been this low in the table or this far, this many points off of the first, place in the table this late in the season. Like, it's been quite some time. Yeah, it's only 5 points. They're even on matches played at 21. But I also wonder if they've gotten to the point in the Thomas Tuchel tenure that it's like, I'm done with you. Like, that the players are just like, I'm done with you. Like, maybe you can lead me to a title. Maybe you can lead me to a trophy of some description, but I'm done with you. I can't. I mean, because Chelsea did it, and it was very apparent when they did it. I believe he's had a run before with Dortmund that they did something similar. PSG. They did that with him, too. But all hats off to Xabi Alonso and Bayer Leverkusen. Like, they really do look like they are going to finish strong and, like, take the Bundesliga title away from Bayern Munich, and that's something that you don't see every day. My applause is going to go out to D1 Akema or D1 Feminine in France, showing the heart of a champion. Olympique Lyonnais. Or Lyon. Yes, Lyon. They played PSG, and even though they were already 10 points ahead of PSG in the table, they've already been running away with the league. They did play PSG, and PSG's, it looked like they were going to get them. Tabitha Chiwenga scored a beautiful, beautiful goal out on the outside of her boot in the second half. And then the defender who assisted her, Elisa de Almeida, made an own goal in the 90th minute to tie the game. But that's really just some heart of a champion type shit. I'm not engaging in the Lindsey Horan discourse on the internet.
Oh my god!
Other than, as Caitlin, Courtney of Diaspora United so aptly pointed out, she called her mama dumb in the New York Times. Like, she called her mama dumb in the New York Times, the paper of record for this country. She called her mama dumb. Now, I'm fairly certain that, like, if any of us were to ever do that, we would just be unalived on the spot.
Muerto.
And then just my shock, like, I've already talked about it before. AFCON is the most fun tournament on earth for footy. Mm-hmm. And
it's pretty cool.
I know that the streets and all the cities in the Ivory Coast were just lit. It was really cool to see Didier Drogba be as yes. animated as he was. You know, he was, yes, you he know, was. He was feeling yes, it. Was. Just for a team to, like, barely advance into the knockout stages, and then having barely advanced and firing their manager to win the whole thing on their home turf. Like, I mean, that's just some of the stuff that dreams are made of. You love it. Like, I can't get in. Like, I'm sad that tournament has ended. But
I know.
But it brought me such great joy, and I'm so, so grateful for it.
Nottingham Forest is appreciative to get their, like, six players back.
Yes, they are. Dortmund probably is excited to get their striker back too.
Yeah, especially way in form.
Yes.
Shout out to Cote d'Ivoire. Shout out to Cote d'Ivoire.
He's a baller.
So I got a little bit of some fun rivalry I want to bring to the pod. For my shock, I'm going to go with an 80-72 Miami over North Carolina victory. Coach Derek, I think we have to have a conversation with Charlie and those North Carolina Tar Heels. I think we need to have a moment for the U and men's basketball being 15th in the country, currently ranked at 21-5 record, as UNC take an 8-point loss to these Miami Hurricanes, sitting with a 16-10 record. Questions got to be asked. Questions have got to be asked. And I, for one, am in a bit of shock. And I'd love for Tita and Charlie to come on here next time and break this down for me. Give me an update on what's going on with some ACC basketball. I think that'd be fun.
Lando, I just opened this up to just the footballing world, and you're like, I hear you, but basketball.
I came prepared. You cracked the door open, sir, and here I come with my shoulder.
Kicking doors, wide kicking doors open left and right.
Fucking talk about something. I don't care.
My man Biggie did.
Yeah, so that's my shock. My awe is going to go to our Man City women. I am in awe of what we just experienced. I have really, really, one of the things joining this lovely family and being a part of Shady Gang and being a part of growing of this amazing growing community for me, I've said it since day one. My knowledge and my growth for the women's game. I have taken it personal to go out of the way and watch our women and support what I am seeing. And for Tomboy to give me the breakdown that he did, for the consistency that he's been with how important it is, the impact of what we've seen for these ladies, it is incredible to me to see a season-defining 2-0 run in the Conti and in the FA Cup. And I, for one, have got to just get it out there now. It is a great time to be behind these girls. They are doing amazing things. Trials and tribulations through injury, through some fun little social media things that start to get picked up on. Hold on. Is she a little, you know what? I stay away from it. I try to dodge it. Twitter can be a crazy place. Our ladies have been absolutely amazing. And it's incredible to see the growth. It's incredible to see how we're climbing up and to be playing one of our biggest games, I think, 1-2 against Chelsea Friday. It's going to be a must watch. The growth of the game seen somehow, if we can get the Paramount Plus and get it out there, City Plus, if you already know, you know. But, I mean, let's get it out there. Let's grow it more. I, for one, really want to keep backing this up, keep supporting them as much as possible, and keep trying to get a guide, my great navigator and Tomboy leading us the way that he does. I'm loving every bit of it. And then I got to – I'm giving too much love to Tomboy here because
hey,
I got to go again.
Hey, all I have to say is, like, I don't know if you saw me, you know, throw that reel out there. I got another one. Like, Woso, we got another one. We got another one, Woso. That's all I got to say. We got another
facts.
One.
Facts.
Folks, yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Got me. Got me. But yes, Xabi Alonso and Leverkusen doing what they're doing. The man is fine. I mean, I'm getting more and more nervous as this continues to grow because I know where the expected destination is at the end of the year. I would love for him to kind of go against the grain and go against what the probability and all the odds are. But the reality is that's the next big challenge we're going to be having to deal with as Man City fans. Alonso's doing it. The man has a mind. What he's doing with the wing backs out there and Grimaldo and Frimpong has been absolutely amazing. When Victor Boniface gets healthy, crazy, scary times. This club is not going anywhere. I'll also give you another name that people, if you're watching Leverkusen, if you're really watching the Bundesliga, you should know that Piero Hinkepai, the center back CDM
kind of hybrid player. Amazing, amazing player. Shout out to the Latinos out there. He is doing great things representing his country. I personally love to see it. And he's a baller. So I really want to shout them out. That's what I got for you, man. Sorry I broke it down for college ball too.
No, I love it. I love it.
You're fine. Yeah. I just got to give everybody a hard time always because that's just what I'm doing this season.
I want that Miami North Carolina feud to kind of pick. I'm starting it. Let it be known. If this picks up, I've created this fire. I want it there so badly.
Well, and I can make it a clip and put it on social media, except for the problem is Tarek doesn't get on it enough for it to even be stoked well enough.
Yeah, right.
I'll post it and tag him and he'll see it in like 3 days and be like, well, I'm over that game now.
And I know he's huge Miami football. I don't know if he's huge Miami basketball.
Oh, no, he is. Like, he is because when both the men and the women went to the Sweet 16 last year, he was all over that.
Oh, he was cooking. Good for him. Mm-hmm. Good for him. What a time.
Man, well, that's what we have for an episode. We still have plenty of shows this week for you. Watch along tomorrow for City versus FC Copenhagen. So today, because you're this one, you'll be listening. Tap in with us. I'll be having on someone new to Shady Gang, Daphne. I'm excited to meet them.
Let's go.
Yeah, gonna chat about that, and then Wednesday gonna have a Breaking Bread for Manchester City men versus Chelsea, bringing on this most dope Chelsea fan. She has with Kelsey Rios, a bucket hat shop that they have, really dope, unique, fun bucket hats that you can purchase. She's a funny Chelsea fan. Great energy. She's gonna bring the heat. I feel like I'm gonna try to be like nice and everything, and I feel like she's gonna kind of bring it. So I'm join and watch that while I try to figure out which crunk do I want to be, because there'll be moments where, you know, I want to be the southern nice hospitable, but then they be talking all greasy and I'm just like, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
Asterisk Google's Chelsea's wages.
Right. And then Thursday night, our lit stream, most dope guest, May and Nico. They both are City fans. I didn't do that on purpose. They are recommendations. Our third is a guest who we weren't able to get them on a lit stream. We got rescheduled. Megan Swainick, her Substack, Swan Dive. Check that out. She's worked with Men in Blazers, works with Women in Sports, the new account that's coming out that's through Men in Blazers. Yeah. You've seen her work on Guardian Sport, ESPN, The Enquirer, BR Football, MLS. Like, truly a really dope person in the sporting, in the football contributor community. So I'm like, excited to have her on the show, especially because we had to reschedule and they were willing to do it. You know how some people are, they're like, yeah, let me reschedule. And then you just never hear from them again. So like, they responded. I appreciate that. And then watch along for City Men versus Chelsea. We're going to be doing that. I'm pretty sure the homie Nicholas Lolian, he kicked it with us for one of the first Chelsea matches. He'll come through. I'm going to see if there's maybe some other Chelsea people I could talk on, maybe Musa or Molina if she, because it's not actually a midday match, actually. Yeah.
I was just about to look at it and see.
It's a midday match. It starts at, it's a midday, 11.
Love it.
Yeah, so plenty of shows. All that stuff is in our show notes. Show Bros, Tom Baum, we'll start with you. Please let listeners know where they can find you.
If there is a social media app and I participated on it, you can find me at TomBaum816.
On Twitter, Shades of Blue. That's all you need to know.
And he said it. He said it. Like, I don't, I'm so, don't follow me, because it's actually, I like just getting my, just like random thoughts out on and through tweets. And now there are too many of you who like care about me as a person. And sometimes I just be wanting to like tweet stupid stuff or sad stuff. And then someone will be like responding and being like caring. And I'm like, bro, it's fine. Everything's fine, guys. Everything's like, fine.
I'm just over here shitposting. It's all good. Just shitposting. Yeah,
I just want to tweet some like sad lyrics or something, because I'm like sad for like 0.25 seconds. And then I like hop back over to the other page and I'm like, all right, football, let's kill it. Like, bro, let's go. Like, let me do my thing sometimes. Like, I love you guys. Thank you for caring about my mental stability, though. Thank you. Like, I actually never changed that. Don't stop that. Thank you. I'm sure there's more notes on here, but I'm not reading them. You know the vibes. Shady gang, shady gang, shady gang.